Good evening. My name is Leah Bowden, and I'm filling in now for the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain radio show, filling in for Troika, who is, as we speak, flying over the Atlantic on her way home from her spiritual pilgrimage. I had the great good fortune of being a guest on one of Troika's shows. We had been talking for years. I've been doing some writing on her website, onespirit.com, and I was thrilled when she asked me to fill in, and so one of the first things I did was to think, well, who can I get to be on my show with me? And I thought of my friend Nina Ian, who creates intuitive healing dolls, and she's here with me. Nina?
Well, hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be here. And I've been friends with Leah for some time. I'm very interested in her portraits, inner portraits. And we do similar work. We're both artists that create work that is intuitive, and we're guided to create artwork that helps people heal, both emotionally and spiritually. And, of course, that type of healing does impact the physical body. So we're both involved in that.
You may be looking at the website now as you're listening, and if you are, or even if you're not, I want to let you know that we are waiting for your calls to be part of our conversation. We would love to know who you are and what you do, and we can fill this conversation out to meet the needs of everybody who's listening. So if you'd like to call in, the number to call in the United States, toll-free, is 877-876-5227. And again, that number is 877-876-5227. I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself, and then I'm going to ask Nina to do the same in whatever way she feels comfortable. I thought about the word ascension for many years in the 80s and then in the 90s, and so when I heard Troika, when I read about Troika's work on the web, I was very interested to know that she was using that word in a very important and very real way, working so closely with Saint Germain all her life, and developing elixirs and programs and information that really help people. And in my own work, when I began, I was conscious of my own ascension as a really real thing. You know, you sit in meditation and you feel like the top of your head is coming off, and you feel the whole sense of things going up and then beginning to get information from spirit and from guides and from other entities. I've recently begun reading quite intensively about the process, which is largely done in shamanic work, in which you go down. You go down to Mother Earth. You hear the beat of the drum, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a cave or in an underground well. And it's a very interesting and different journey. But you know what? I think it all leads to the ascension into the soul. And the healing work that Nina and I do with people, whether it's hands-on or whether for her it's making these incredibly gorgeous dolls, or for me making energy portraits in which I see the energy flow or the chi that's running through people, and I paint it using pastels, it's still helping people ascend into their fuller, higher selves, the authentic self that we all really are. If you'd like to look at the work that Nina and I do while you're listening to the show to see exactly what we're talking about, and if you do so, remember to open in another browser window or you'll lose us. So, Nina, what's your website?
It's www.dollsforthesoul.net.
And you can see my energy portraits at www.energyportraits.com. Nina, what's it like for you when you are creating an intuitive healing doll for someone? I mean, do you have the person there in front of you, or is it done long distance? Because I know it can be done long distance.
Mostly I don't have the person there. What happens is that someone will ask me to create a healing for them. And the healing entails not only a doll but a reading that comes with it. And the way it works is that I take a very small bit of personal information, which is really tiny. I mean, basically the name, the address where I'm going to ship the doll, and one or two other things. And that's about it. And that's really all the information I want, because this is an intuitive process. It's a psychic process, and so I am guided to make a portrait. Now, I was a medical illustrator, so my portraits are very realistic. If you see the website, you'll see that they're very realistic. They look like real people. So when you think of dolls, these are healing dolls. These are not dolls in the traditional fashion of American commercialism. This is a different process. This is sort of an ancient art. And what happens is that as I'm intuiting the portrait will come out normally as somewhat that the person receiving the doll will recognize in some way. Either they will actually recognize them as someone they know, a relative who's passed over, a friend, someone from their past, someone from their present. Sometimes it can be just someone that they resonate with. It's a portrait of something that reminds them of a feeling or expression that they themselves resonate with. I'd say about maybe 60 to 75% of the time, however, it does resemble somebody they know. And I don't know how this works totally. I mean, I know that I'm guided to do it, but it's always amazing to me that it does come out looking like somebody that people know. And then the message that comes through is usually something that, just like when we're going through anything emotional, sometimes we don't know the actual issue that's coming up. We have a sense of a feeling of something, but we don't really know the root of it. Or we think we know the root of it, but then in the healing process, the root becomes apparent. And so people receive a reading by which this particular manifestation in physical form represents some of that healing process. And it's, you know, it's always a revelation both to me and to the recipient, and it's sometimes incredibly accurate to specifics, names, places, dates, things like that. So it's quite amazing.
You know, I have a question for you, and mm-hmm. Nina and I have known each other for, like, what, 7 years or something like this? And, in fact, she made a doll for me, and I got the doll, mm-hmm. and it was gorgeous, and the face of this doll is the face of the woman who was my mentor when I was a teenager, and she was in her mid-20s. She was my best friend and my mentor, and I couldn't get over the fact that that's who it was, you know, this dear soul. But the other thing that I wanted to ask you is this. It's a healing doll. It's made with your intention to help the person open up to the healing potential that he or she has. Mm-hmm. I know we're not talking about what's commonly known as voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
However, is there the ability to use this doll by touching it in certain ways to affect healing? Have you ever thought of that?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that people have said this word to me many times. Voodoo is... I want people to think of voodoo. You know, it's sort of like a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, I'm so glad I brought it up.
Voodoo is African acupuncture.
Oh.
Okay? Think of it like that. Don't think of it in terms of some, you know, thing that is esoteric, mysterious, and somewhat
negative.
Yeah. It's not negative. It's part of a mystical religion. And I think that it's been twisted.
Mm.
So when I think of that, I think of it as African healing. And it's healing of, and all cultures have, or at least many, many cultures have, a sense that there can be negativity and the way to deal with negativity, that all disease and all healing relates to the negativity in the body, dis-ease. And so this is a form of getting, voodoo is a form of getting rid of the negative thoughts, the negative feelings, the negativity of the body and the soul and the spirit. And it manifests in various ways. I don't want to go too far into it, but I just want to say that it's not a negative. To me, it's not a negative. It's another culture. And it's a culture that has a vast history and is very powerful and positive. So that's about that.
So I had, and I'm so glad you said that,
yeah,
because there are lots of words we use, and I just did,
yeah,
and using them in what we've learned from popular misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that I had was, mm-hmm, do you ever use, or do your dolls have the, can you use your dolls by like touching the doll on the
right
arm?
Well, here's the thing that I give out when I give the reading, and I normally do this, and maybe it's what I try to say is that it's a healing that continues healing. That one of the things that happens with this is that the energy, the actual mystical part of this energy, this sort of ancient tradition, means that you have a focal point for a number of things. You have a focal point if you wish to use it for a meditative tool. Because the whatever healing mechanism that goes into this continues to work, so that while I can channel through this focal point, the person receiving can also channel through the focal point. So you can bring to you, I tell people, put the doll by your bed. Allow it to help you in your dream work, because it will enhance your dream. It will deal, one of the ways that I first got into this was the person that brought this tradition to me. They said very little, but one of the things they said was, you must conquer fear in order to heal yourself and others. That's the most important thing, is to conquer your own fears. And that this mechanism, however it works, enables people to look deeply into themselves and to confront some of the problems that they're having, even if they're not even aware of them. They will come out in your dreams and things like that. And once you pass through that, it's kind of traditionally known as the dark night of the soul. And once you pass through something like that, you can start to heal yourself. And you often, you know, people that have disease and people that are in pain and a variety of things, they have to go sort of hit bottom. They have to get to a place where they recognize that they are in disease,
yeah,
in order to heal. You must acknowledge that. And this is the way that works as well. So it's not only touching the doll necessarily, but it's actually just working with the energy. You can use it for dream work. You can meditate with it. You can, when I give a doll, I say people, I don't give a name. I say, you get the name.
Mm.
You actually ask for the name. And allow yourself to build up your own channeling power, because I believe everybody has that potential. I don't do a healing and say, well, I'm the healer and you're the recipient. I say, I'm the healer now. Now you be the healer. Now you have a tool by which you can become the healer of your own self. And I've had other people make dolls for themselves and others.
Do you have a doll for yourself?
I have many dolls for myself.
And do they serve as conduits, as you're saying?
Yes.
Specific?
Yes. I have one particularly that is always on top of me about getting certain writing done that I do. And, you know, helps me with that and keeps me on track. I have one that I relate to around if I'm concerned about particular relatives and their health and their well-being. I can often have a connection through the modality of that vehicle. And it sounds weird. I mean, people say, oh, come on. But it, in fact, everybody has what I say, their own medicine.
I have a feeling that the people who listen to this show,
yeah,
are into the possibilities, if not, mm-hmm, in their own experience, the actuality,
yeah,
of non-material,
yeah,
reality.
Yeah.
And if you want to call in and ask Nina or me a question, you can call in the United States toll-free 877 876-5227. And my name is Leah Bowden.
And I want to ask you also,
okay.
In terms of, because I also have a wonderful portrait that you did for me that was very meaningful to me, and as a matter of fact, I keep with me all the time so that I can look at it, because one of the wonderful things that, if you don't mind my saying, that you do, that I get from you, is this amazing ability to look at a portrait of oneself that is the essence of your being. That's really what the portrait resembles to me. It's not a portrait that is a study. It's not a bust. It's not a anatomically correct resemblance of what appears in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's the portrait of the essence of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get so involved in our own lives, in our own problems, in our own whatever, that we forget that we are truly these wonderful light beings, and we're truly spiritual entities, and we have all the perfectness that the universe really sees us as. And when you look at the portrait, you remember that.
Thank you for saying that. That's become very real to me, because let me just say something a little bit about the energy portraits. The energy portrait is a combination of modes. It's a physical painting that I do using pastels on black paper, and it also includes an audio tape that I make while I'm doing the energy portrait of information and chanting and singing that comes through from the person's multidimensional selves, and that includes angels, aspects of the divine, other selves. I actually have come to a perception that I favor, rather than past lives, it's alternate realities and other possible selves. And so what I'm hearing and actually feeling, often in a kinetic way, is what the other selves of this person are going through at the same time. And so when you look at the energy portrait, you're looking at maybe a crown chakra that goes maybe 5 feet high in the air, that typically would have colors in white and purple and yellow and green and red, swirling, and sometimes with silver and gold symbols inscribed in the energy as it's swirling around, and then other colors as you go down below. And I was recently reading several books by Alberto Villaldo, who writes about shamanism and much more than that. And he uses a phrase that I really, really love, and I sent an email to him thanking him for coining this phrase. The phrase is a luminous being or luminous body. And I don't know that he's ever seen one of my energy portraits, but I feel that what I'm seeing is the luminous body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are. I mean, we also are these bags of skin, and wow, we are so lucky to have these bodies. They carry us around. And just as your dolls are an expression of the us that our bodies carry around, I mean, who is it that our body's carrying around? It's the divine. So I wanted to tell you, too, that one of the reasons that I asked you about can you touch one of your dolls and effect healing is I have tried this with a couple of my clients, with their permission, of course, while they're sitting there, and I say to them, and I hold the portrait that I've just done so that they can't see where I'm touching it, and I say, I'm going to touch you in a place and send love to you in this part.
Mm-hmm.
And in one woman's case, I very, very, very gently stroked her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for about 30 seconds, and then I held it so that she couldn't see where I was stroking it, and then I put it down, and I said, did you feel anything? And she said, yes, and she touched her neck. And she said, I felt a wonderful tingling in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me that I don't know much about this at all, but I do know that at some point in Chinese cultural history, male physicians were not permitted to touch female clients, and so they had dolls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as a matter of fact, I met, I think his name is Tom Tang, and he has a wonderful book. And I had done a Compassion in Action conference where we had talked, and he had an acupuncture doll with him, which he does distance healing with his acupuncture doll. And it's an interesting story about how those dolls came about. They used to teach the acupuncture when they first started, and but they used a life-size doll, obviously, and it was made of metal, and they covered it with wax, and they had the acupuncture points, and
wow.
So they filled it with water, and when they would put when the student would hit the right point, the water would come spurting out, and it was actually, you know, a big life-size doll, but it was made of metal, as I say. So dolls play a very important part of almost every culture and a very long history of such, and again, it's just a wonderful, you know, concept that you can affect healing that way. You certainly can. I don't have to touch the dolls. I am, of course, a Reiki master, so I can do distance healing. Aside from working with the dolls are more of a healing that is on the emotional plane, on the spiritual plane, and as I say, impacts the physical plane. But when I'm working on the physical plane, I work as a Reiki master mostly. But I'm sure the dolls could, if I develop that part, then I could do it that way too. Because even with distance healing, you can use an inanimate object. Sometimes they teach you to practice with a teddy bear or a doll or something like that. So you can affect healing that way.
There's a woman who is a friend of mine, who became a friend of mine after I did an energy portrait of her. And I subsequently went to her studio in Ohio and taught classes of her students how to make energy portraits, because I teach the intuitive and healing art of energy portraiture as a way to contact a being. It could be someone you've met in your dreams. It could be yourself seeking your divine self, and people create their own energy portraits. And so I was there to teach, and I also was doing people's energy portraits, and I did another one of her, and I did one of her husband. And sometimes in the energy portraits, I find myself making lines. Sometimes they look like squiggles. Sometimes they look like a shower of sparks, or maybe just a line going through the palm chakra or through the knee. And there were quite a few in hers and her husband's. About 2 weeks after I did these, she sent me an email, and she said, she and her husband took these to their acupuncturist. The acupuncturist looked at hers and pointed to 7 or 8 places where I had these squiggles on her portrait, and he said, these are exactly the acupuncture points where I was planning on doing the 7-something dragon. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact name. And the same thing for his. I had no idea that I was tuning in to the physical body, and that was, you know, that was kind of scary.
Yeah,
because I told this to someone, and they said, "Oh, you must be a medical intuitive." And I said, "No, I'm an artist, and I simply allow myself to put on the paper whatever I see."
Well, you know, let me just say that a lot of healers are artists, and a lot of artists are healers, and that those two tend to go together because of the intuitive element. I mean, I think I've run into so many people that cross over both those modalities, both those fields. And I think that, you know, any kind of healing work that you do, because we're doing healing art, we're doing, you know, I consider what I do sort of a combination of intuitive work, psychic work, shamanic work, but also I consider it art therapy on some level as well. So I believe that all creativity has a healing component, and I believe that very, very strongly. And one of the things that I do when I teach is people say, well, I have no interest in making a doll. I don't know anything about dolls. I couldn't sculpt in a million years. I can't draw even a straight line. I can't do this. I can't do that. And yet, when they come to the workshops, which I teach, many of the people that come have never done anything since kindergarten even. I mean, they haven't made an attempt to be creative in their life in an artistic way because they've been afraid. And again, you go back to that element of fear. You have to take that risk to try. And of course, I've developed, having worked with learning disabled children over the years, I've developed methods that anyone can learn to do this work, because I make it very, very simple and very comfortable for people. And there really are no mistakes when you're working in clay, even when you're working in paint and pastels. They're very fluid mediums, and if you think that you made a mistake, so you go over it, you change it. Or if you, you know, put the nose in the wrong place, so you take it away and you start over. There's no real issue. And people come out with things that I always find really amusing because they look like them or they look like somebody they know. They themselves are amazed how easy it was to do the work that they see that I do. And they're amazed by that.
But let me say, and I've sat in on at least two of your classes, and I've made a doll. None of the dolls that the students that I've seen make hold a candle to
I don't think that's true at all. I've had many students whose dolls are really magnificent, just magnificent. I mean, you've seen very few of the
You're
class.
Right, I have.
You know, I teach all over the country, and a majority of my students do not have any art experience. Certainly no sculpting experience, and the majority have no art experience either. And yet they've come up with just fabulous, fabulous things. Now, you can't really compare, and that I think is a little bit unfair, to compare something that someone has done once to something that someone has done for 15 years.
You're right. So,
so that's not, you know, it's not that they're not doing a fine job, and they're not, they are coming out with realistic portraits, and they're also coming out with just some beautiful innovative creativity as far as the entire product, you know, the entire doll. But as far as, you know, fingernails and the fine little, you know, details that I put in, that's taken me 15 years to, you know, develop. And I'm a medical illustrator initially. So, you know, I come to this from really not only 15 years of history, but 40 years of history.
You're right. And it was,
you know,
the fingernails. I mean, really, you should see these fingernails and the toes that she does. And you're right. And your students, what I've seen, they make powerful dolls.
Yes,
they
do.
Powerful.
They do. And they often come with, the students often get the same results that I get. And that's really the issue. The issue is not the craft itself. The craft itself is good. But the issue is that they come away with the ability to have several things. They come away with a certain kind of self-confidence that they didn't have before, self-esteem that they didn't have before about their own abilities. They come away with the knowledge that there is a possibility that they could hook into this effect of finding their guides themselves without having to go to readers or anybody else. They can start to develop their dream work. I teach to writers. They find it very useful in their writing. They have characterizations and all kinds of things come to them. It's just a very useful tool for them. And that's really the value in it, is that it's a healing modality on that level for the people that are actually doing it themselves. I mean, I could do it for people and give them a reading, just like you go to a psychic and get a reading. And it continues on. But when people do it for themselves, what they learn is that they have the ability to do that. And I've had actually two students out of the many hundreds of students I've taught over the years who have actually gone on to become professional doll makers, far surpassing their teacher, and who have developed this skill, that of this intuitive skill as well. So that's been very rewarding, and I think you probably have had that experience.
I have. I also, as I said, I teach the healing intuitive art of energy portraiture, and it's not so much about making a pretty picture. I mean, it's not at all about making a pretty picture, although many of them are beautiful. It's really, as you said about the dolls, it's about finding the spirit and the informing spirit, the consciousness within that you may not have contacted before, and finding a way to find and articulate an expression of that consciousness. And in fact, I've had a couple of students whose portraits that they did were so gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Mine was gorgeous.
Yes.
I did one, and it was so beautiful, but the thing I loved about it even more than the beauty of it was the fact that it gave me great inspiration. It really, I was just, and I didn't read it. You know, I did it, and then you read it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read it, what you saw was so amazing to me because it hit the nail on the head, but it also gave me, I had a lot of projects at the time in my head that I wanted to bring to fruition. And I didn't say anything to you about that. I just was drawing this picture. And you read this picture and said, oh, look at all these projects. Oh, look at all the success. Oh, look at this. You're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and this one's good. And it was so interesting to me that there it was on the picture. I didn't know it was on the picture, but you knew it was on the picture. And it was fabulous, and it really encouraged me, and I kept it kind of like a reminder, you know, here was this picture that I had done, and every time I looked at it, it would remind me, oh, you know, you are going to have this success, these things will happen, and it was a very positive thing. As I say, we get sort of very enmeshed in our lives, and things come up, and, you know, there's all sorts of issues, and it's easy to put things on the back burner, forget things, or feel like, you know, not as positive as you want to feel sometimes. And then you have this, again, a focal point in which you see, in fact, you have created this, and this is real.
And if you who are listening would like to see a photograph of Nina and this energy portrait that she made, you go to my website, www.energyportraits.com, and over on the left side where the navigation buttons are, you click on classes. And you'll see somewhere down there a photograph of Nina, and she's the one wearing dark glasses. So you'll see who she is.
You want to mention the phone number again if people want to call in.
Oh, thank you. If people want to call in, call 877-876-5227. That's the number to call toll-free in the United States. And that's 877-876-5227.
I just want to mention also again our website. I think that we'll probably, if they're not up already on the screen, these are them, and you can look at them while we're talking if you're interested. It's www.dollsforthesoul. This is even though it's four words, it's only one word. You type it as one word, dollsforthesoul.net. And just incidentally, this was a name that I had long before the famous books came out. I have been doing this for over 15 years. So, but it's a website that will show you a variety of pictures of the various dolls, different types of dolls. And your website?
And my website is www.energyportraits.com. We were talking about how our students just amaze us with what they're doing. And I think it's important that people should know, just as you pointed out with the dolls, that you don't have to think of yourself as an artist to do these. The intention does an incredible thing. Both Nina and I met at the summer conference of the International Women's Writing Guild. The conference, in fact, is about to start again for its 30th year at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York. And if you have a desire to tickle your creative button and get it moving and be in the company of 300 to 400 fabulous, creative, nurturing women, look up IWWG.org and you can find out all about it. And Nina and I are both going to be teaching our courses in doll making and energy portraiture starting Saturday morning, as a matter of fact. So last year, in one of my classes, there was a woman who sat in on the class and who did the classes. And after everyone had done their portraits and had taken several minutes to contact the energy they felt coming from the portraits and ask questions of the portrait, and I said to them, you know, ask a question to what you did a portrait of, because what you did a portrait of is a being. So there were some people who did a little bit of the rolling of the eyes, but they did it. And this one woman who I've known for years said, well, I have to tell you, this was my risk class. Every year, she said, I make myself take a class that I think is a little weird, or that I think I won't succeed in, or that I would never ordinarily think, oh, I should do this. So we might say she was a cynic or a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
But she came in, she did the exercises, and she said, and you know what? This is quite amazing, because in fact, I've delved into something that I never knew was in me, a thought that I hadn't had, and it's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So it is amazing when we open ourselves to say yes to the universe.
Right, right.
We open doors that...
Right. Specifically, things that are creative, both writing and art are... These are the ways in which we reach our divine spirit, is through creativity. That is the point, is that your creative energy, we are in our society not supported as much as perhaps we should be or could be, to be creative. You know, we're not paid well for creativity as a rule. There are jobs that do not encourage that. As a matter of fact, discourage it. And so the creative element is often the last thing that we think of in terms of giving time to and devoting time to in a serious way. And yet it is the most healing of all things for us is to find creativity. And that can be through all sorts of means. I mean, it could be picking up a camera and going out in nature. It can be, you know, writing a story, writing a poem, just writing a letter. It can be any type of art at all. And these are the things that, you know, give us great power to see ourselves in a completely different light. And in light.
And in light. And I've always been interested in that line in Scripture, created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are creators.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we are, in that sense, we are co-God.
Mm-hmm.
We are co-creating what our lives are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through creating anything. You create anything. You say, look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hubris. It's not thinking, oh, we're better than anyone else. It's saying, we have the power to create. And in fact, I think they found that art therapy is therapeutic because you create something and you're saying, yes, I am.
Right.
I am alive. I am here. I am using my creative talents. And when we don't use our creativity, even if you think you're not creative, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm not creative. And what we really mean is, I can't paint like Gauguin, or I can't write like...
Well, most of the time we're saying I'm afraid.
Yes.
I think that's really the issue. I meet a lot of people who say, I can't. And I say, you mean you won't. Because can't is just fear. And fear translated beyond, which makes you not do something, is I won't. So... I often say, well, just, you know, you have to take that risk. You have to take a jump and find something that you truly love. And it doesn't have to be doll making or painting or any of those things. It can be anything at all that's creative. But I think that getting back to the work that we do, that I have written a book. It's called Artist as Healer, Stories of Transformation and Healing. And people have said to me many times, you know, you have so many interesting stories of the healings that you've done. Why don't you write them down? So I did. And that book is available through my website. It's also available in a number of small independent bookstores. And it is basically about the various people that I met along the way for whom I did healings and made dolls and the amazing things that transpired in their lives.
Share something from that, will you?
Well, let's see. When I first started out, there was a woman who, she was someone who I didn't know very well. She was sort of an acquaintance who I would see on occasion. When I would go do my bedding at the laundromat, basically, my machine was too small for bedding. So occasionally I would take my bedding down to the laundromat, and this is a woman who actually worked at the laundromat, and I was just starting out, and I was always interested when people would express some either desire to have one or express something in their own lives that would lead me to feel like I would like to make them something. And it turned out this was sort of an extraordinary case because she was quite ill, even though she was at work, and it turned out that she had needed some surgery that was quite serious and didn't know not only if she would make it through, but if it was malignant and if she would survive. And so I asked her, I told her I'd like to make her something, and she protested, but I decided that I would do it for her anyway, and mostly she was protesting, I think, in terms of feeling that she had a lot of medical bills, and this was not something she wanted to afford, but I was going to do it for nothing, because I really wanted to do this for her. And so I did, and when I brought it to her finally, it turned out to be a relative of hers who had raised her.
You mean the doll?
The doll turned out to be a relative. It looked just like her, and it, the relative, that is. It looked like this relative of hers that had raised her. And during the process of my making it, I received some information that it turns out was a secret, a family secret, and I received it. And she was mortified that I had it. And how could I possibly have it, you know, when she had told no one? Her and her sister had told no one about this. And so it was interesting because after a while she was so relieved because now the secret was shared by somebody who held it sacred. And she had this image of this person that had raised her, this woman that had raised her, as a loving entity that clearly was there, because how else would I have this secret from this woman? So it was just very, very moving for her, and she was able to go through that operation, took the doll to the hospital with her, and able to go through that experience, feeling that her relative, who had, of course, passed over many years prior, was with her in whatever form, whether you consider angels or spirit or whatever, that her she had come through to me. And in this form, both the portrait and this with this information, this bit of information, that was clearly unsolicited by anyone, but it came, and I knew that I was supposed to tell her, and so I did. And so that was an amazing process, and that was sort of at the beginning of my journey with this, and so I was quite drawn to the whole process, and I continued to do it. And after a while, I received quite a bit of information for the person, from whoever the doll was to them. They would give me names and places and dates and all kinds of very specific things sometimes.
You know what I'd like to do now? We have, let's see, 45, we have 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to lead people in a guided visualization, very briefly,
mm-hmm.
in which they will relax for a few minutes
mm-hmm.
and then find themselves being aware of a very, very loving presence who has their best interests at heart, who has always loved them, whether they have met this person or not, and will be present in this person's heart to bless and embrace and give succor. And then, after you have this, we do the meditation, I want you to allow yourself to imagine that you can take whatever materials you have at hand, whether it's clay or a pen or crayons, or in fact, if you are an artist, the medium of your choice, and just allow yourself to express in whatever medium you choose something that reminds you of this being. Don't think about color and line. Let your hands do the work, because your hands will know exactly how to translate what's in your heart onto the paper or into the clay, all right? So here we're going to do this. Right now, wherever you are, sitting or lying down, just shift your position slightly so that your body knows it's time to relax. And we're going to do a very quick relaxation. We're going to go We're going to start at 10, and by the time we reach 1, you're going to be very, very relaxed. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you find yourself in a beautiful, beautiful room. This room is filled with the flower of your greatest choice. There's a scent that reminds you of the sweetest thing you have ever known. You are feeling light and full and grateful for your being. And you have the sense that in this room, there is a great friend who you don't remember inviting to come with you, but for whose presence you are so grateful. And so you turn around, and in a cloud, very, very gradually disappearing, the cloud very gradually disappears, and you see this beautiful, beautiful being. And you look at the being, and you notice that the being has love pouring out all over, and you feel your heart expanding. You're expanding so beautifully. And you feel the love between the two of you. And you notice the color of the light. You notice the shape of the being. This beautiful being who is there with love for you extends his or her arms. And you find yourself wanting to go right into those arms and receive the embrace that you've been waiting for all your life. You know this being in the deepest recesses of your heart. And you can hear the choirs of angels or birds. You can hear the waterfall, the stream rushing over rocks, the sand and the sea meeting in constant ecstasy. This is all within you. And you allow yourself to see and feel this person as if you could feel their hands, feel the shape of the person's cheeks, feel the shoulders, the hair. Know this person as love incarnate, and know this being as part of yourself who is with you always. Notice how you feel. Notice the love. And now step back from the person, the being. Say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And allow yourself now to come back into your normal reality, back into the room, back into the chair or the couch where you're sitting, and stretch your arms and wiggle your fingers and wiggle your toes, open your eyes, and right now, begin a drawing or wadding up some paper or taking some clay and molding it and figuring it, because your hands are ready to shape something that will remind you of this beautiful presence. Now that's just the beginning to help you understand how it can feel when you allow yourself to open up to the divine within you and to the great friend who always is with you, whether that friend even is human or angel or dog or horse, whatever. We have 4 more minutes before we need to say goodbye. So, Nina, if people want to contact you, how can they contact you?
Well, go on the website, www.dollsforthesoul.net, and take a look there. There is an email address for you to contact me there. There's also, if you have children and you're interested in something for the children, there is a .com site of the same name, dollsforthesoul.com, and you can... If you like to order something for the children, there are some wizards there for children, and those make great gifts for the kids for the holidays, their birthdays, things like that. At any rate, both of the websites have an email address and a phone number, as a matter of fact. And you can contact me by email or phone, and I will personally get back in touch with you. You can put an order through on the .com site directly. At the healing dolls, you can talk to me, and I will give you the information if you'd like to order a healing doll. And there are some dolls at some galleries around the country as well that I have that you can hook into. So give me a call or email me, and I look forward to speaking with you.
And the same for me. If you'd like to contact me, www.energyportraits.com, phone number, email, anything is fine. Nina, we had such fun.
Yes, this was great.
And I learned things from you about what you do and about the whole concept behind the healing dolls that I didn't know before.
Well, thank you. That was it was a great experience.
So I believe the next show that you all are going to be able to hear, which will be next week, same time, same station, will be your beloved Troika back from her travels. So I want to thank you again for tuning in to Ascension Secrets St. Germain Radio Show. Troika is, I don't know, maybe she's over in New York now, maybe she's still in the Atlantic, in the air, or maybe in fact she's back home listening to this show. And if you are, Troika, I want to thank you very, very much. This has been a lot of fun. And let's see, I think we have one more minute. This is my first time doing an internet radio show, and so I don't want to talk too long, nor do I want to leave blank space. Mm-hmm. What's the most interesting message you ever got from one of your dolls, Nina?
Oh, you're putting me right on the spot.
I'm putting you right on the spot. Think fast.
I think one of the most important messages that I've received, and that's true of many of the dolls that I've also given, is that we have everything we need within us.
Very good. We do. And the most important message I received, and this was from someone else's, and I get this all the time, is you are God. Mm-hmm. I am not speaking in metaphor. This is what the voice says. This is not a metaphor. You are God.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and be God.
Right.
So that's our task and your task. And thank you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.